Welcome back to Nachiyomi, and we're going to be learning today Iyov Perek Chof Gimel, the 23rd chapter of Iyov. In this perek, it is the first half of the speech of Iyov's response to Eliphaz. Remember, at this point in time, we're in the third round of arguments. The three friends of Iyov have now had two rounds of arguing with Iyov. This begins the third round where Eliphaz has argued with Iyov, and Iyov is now responding. Our perek is short, it is 17 psukim long, and just a reminder that Eliphaz has argued in the last argument, in the last perek, perek Chof Beis, that Hashem hides his hashkacha, his providence from human beings, in order to preserve their free will, their free choice to take actions. So, as an example, for tzaddikim, why is it that tzaddikim suffer? Why is Hashem veiling and hiding his hashkacha? In order that the tzaddikim don't do it for the reward, is what he argues. Why is it that for the Rishayim, why for the evildoers does Hashem reward them and thereby hide his Ashkocha? Because he does it because he doesn't want to punish them immediately and them to be serving him for fear of punishment. Iyov is now responding to both of those arguments. Perek Chof Gimel, our Perek, is responding about why the Tzaddikim should suffer if really they're just serving for the wrong ulterior motives. In Perek Chof Dalet, which we'll get to tomorrow or the next day, is when he argues against Eliphaz about the Rishayim and why it is that the Rishayim have no suffering at the beginning. So let's look at our perek. Our perek is made in six general points in which Iyov argues back. The first section over here, the perek in the first five psukim, is really an introduction where Iyov explains that he would have been able to hold in his complaints, his moaning, his pain, if only he knew he'd be able to come to terms with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he could just see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he could see Hashem in his abode, he would be able to present his case in judgment and he would have been happy. This, generally speaking, is a theme of this. Iyov in this perek talks a lot about his closeness with Hashem and his willingness and want to come to Hashem and have a conversation, to have proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He starts the second point, which removes from Sukkim Vav to Zayin, in which he argues in this case that if there were to be a court case with him where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be listening to him and responding to him, then, you know, he would not be alone. Sham Yosher Noichachimoy, there would be Yosher, uprightness. The idea, the concept of uprightness would be defending Iyov, and therefore Va'afalta Lonetzach Mishpati. I would be Mishoftai. I would be able to exit from my judgment in innocence, because I know that that Yosher, that uprightness is on my side. Why is this? What's the point of this? The point is that Eliphaz had claimed that Tzaddikim suffer here because they were working for reward and not for the real relationship with Hashem. So what Iyov is saying in a veiled sense over here is, look, even if I was serving Hashem for an ulterior motive, that doesn't explain the terrifying pain and suffering that I have been through. He moves on to point three, which is Pesukim Ches to Tes, in which he argues, look, I look in all directions, I simply can't find Hashem. Achor, Vokedem, I look in front of him, Achor, behind him, small, and Yemin, I can't find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does this mean? The Malbim explains that these are four domains in which Hashem is found. The front is the direct expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Nevuah. Achora, the back, is in retrospect, usually that's understood to mean in history. Left is through nature, and right is through miracles. These are the four expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Direct expression, retrospect expression, in natural expression, and supernatural expression. And what he's saying is that in all of these I look and I cannot find the answer. There doesn't seem to be a Seder. I'm not getting prophecy. I can't see the retrospect in my life, in the history of the world. I'm not able to see Hashem in nature. The order seems to be corrupt right now and there are no miracles. So what Iyov is saying is I'm not able to find the dialogue with Hashem, which I so desperately desire, or the meaning that I'll be able to find through it. He moves on to his fourth point, Pesukim Yud to Yud Beis. In this section, he points out that Hashem can find him. You know, I can't find Hashem, but he certainly can find me. And therefore, Bechonani Kazohov Eitze. You know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, test me. Try me out, see if there's anything bad. You know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I followed you, my legs followed every command. I did not hesitate. I treasured everything of yours, and I didn't even hesitate, as the Malbim points out, which means to say that I wasn't even doing it for ulterior motives. And he gets to point five, and this is a very hard pasuk to understand. It's a very famous pasuk. It appears in our tefillah, pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hu ve'echod umi yeshivenu, V'nafshoi ivsa v'yoas. That he is one who can dissuade him. Whenever he whatever he desires, he does. We put this in our Twitter. What does he mean by this? The Malbim goes back to his general theme over here, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that I'm good at heart. He knows that his yediyah, his knowledge of me, came before I even existed, which means Hashem knew I was going to be good all the way through. There was nothing I could do to change that. He feels predetermined as a good person. The way that Rav Shah puts it is, no, you tell me that I need to do teshuva. But there's no teshuva I can do because I was good. I was always good. In the end of the day, no teshuva is going to help in this case because I wasn't punished because of my actions. And you know what? Yov is correct in this assumption. Just a few another couple thoughts, some more Kabbalistic thoughts on this pasuk, because it's such a famous pasuk, is the Chida on his commentary on Tanakh said that that when it refers to Hashem, it talks about how Hashem is unified, he is echad, but it doesn't say echad, it says vuhu ve'echad umi yeshivenu. Hashem is amongst one, which leads Chazal to make the drasha that it's not describing the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the celestial realm, but rather the oneness of Klal Yisrael in the terrestrial realm. Which means, when is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to appear among Bnei Yisrael is Be'echad, when they are one, when they're able to bring themselves together. So the condition of the oneness in this world is the oneness of Hashem in this world is us allowing Him, so to speak, to come into that oneness. Very fascinating description. Just one other beautiful idea within this pasuk is the Harei V'samim. In his commentary on the Torah in Bereishis says that if you look at the word V'nafshoi Ivsa V'yoas, the word Ivsa is actually a compilation of a three-letter word, which is Toihu, which means emptiness, desolation, void, with an Aleph placed beforehand. Which means to say that before the world was created, there was null, there was void, there was nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu attached himself, so to speak, to that void. He created that void, he created that tzimtzum necessary to give direction to that void, and that's why the Nafshoi Ivsovayas, which turns into his will. If we're willing to straighten out the void and the destruction in this world, we are ultimately continuing the enterprise of Hashem in creating this world as well. So there's just so many multiple layers of meaning in every word of this pasuk. Nonetheless, we move on and to conclude this parak with his sixth and last point. That's from Pasukim Yudalid to Yudzayin. It's a little bit enigmatic what he's trying to convey here. The way the Malbim seems to say it is that he talks about a lot of the theme of darkness and fear. And what he's really saying is that even if there was moments in my service of Hashem where I served Hashem and I knew I was going to get a good life because of this. It wasn't because of that I served Him. I was really serving Him out of fear of Him. And at this point in time, now I'm left in darkness. I'm left in fear and pain. And he says it's not a true reflection. My comments I'm making now, which sound like they are heretical, are not a reflection of who I was beforehand. But those seem to be two disparate points. Shah puts the whole thing together, where the way he looks at this last section of 4 Psukim is more coherent, where he says that, no, if Hashem wanted me to ask no questions, then He should have just killed me. But He left me alive and let me suffer with a clear mind in order, he believes, that I should ask questions. So Eov now feels that he's in a dead end. On the one hand, he wants to find Hashem. On the one hand, he questions Hashem. He wants proximity, but Hashem is not allowing him that proximity. So why am I here? Kill me if you want to punish me, but if you don't want to punish me and you want a dialogue, then leave me and have a dialogue, but there's no dialogue. And that's what Eo is pointing out over here, is I'm left in the darkness of suffering and the darkness and silence of dialogue. And that's what Eo is bemoaning at this point in time. This ends the first half of his speech. We'll address the second half tomorrow in Perek Chof Dalet, in which he responds to the idea of Rishayim suffering and Rishayim prospering and why they don't suffer immediately. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.